Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is going on with the planets and the stars and the moons today. I just was looking outside. It had been fogged in, like sucked in with fog, and now the sun is breaking through. So isn't that a great metaphor for our day? As in, things are foggy and unclear, and then the sun or the light breaks through, the epiphany. It's so human design week, right? Gate 47, where the earth is sitting, which brings on the light, brings in the awareness, shines that spotlight in, and allows us to see what we couldn't see before. So I think it's a great metaphor. Aha. So let's say good morning to people checking in with us already. Good morning, Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel and Debbie Hedden, Suzanne Fulmer, Asa, good morning to you. Allison, good morning. Jan Landry, good morning. It's great to see everybody popping in here and saying hello. The only thing I wish that this could do that it doesn't is let me see your bright, shiny faces at the same time. I guess if I used Zoom and gave everybody the link, you could all join in the morning. We'd all be face to face. But maybe a lot of people wouldn't necessarily like that. So this is the best we've got right now. Good morning, Christine Erickson. And Allison says good morning to everybody. And Jan says good morning to everybody. And Debbie says good morning. So how's everybody doing today? Yesterday turned out to be a pretty good day, at least for me. And I use myself as the model. If it's fairly good for me and there's no real big upsets in the day or any feelings that I have about what's going on out there, then I usually think of it as being a fairly decent day, even though the moon was in void, right? The moon void almost the entire day. In fact, literally the waking day for everyone. And often that means, you know, stalled work and things like that. But, I had a couple of frustrating moments with things that I was trying to push on and get done. And I just finally said, ain't happening. And then it turned out I had a wonderful conversation with a beautiful manifester down there in Florida yesterday. And what an amazing person he was, and learning all about being a manifester. It was great. Great conversation. I often don't get to do readings for manifestors. They're usually very clear about who they are and what they want and where they're going. And so they are not the ones that reach out all that often for help from astrologers or human design tech consultants. But he did, and it was a great conversation. So I know we have a couple of manifestors out there who have reached out, and I applaud that, because otherwise, you may just keep going and going, bumping your head into the wall, wondering why things aren't blowing up on you, and getting angrier by the moment until you finally get through or break through. So it's so much easier if you just reach out and get help, right? Asa says, a lot of hard transits hitting my chart. Glad to be here. Need to be here. Good morning, Linda. And Asa, that's true. And I think a lot of people are having, you know, some difficult transits as well. It's funny because I notice when I get chart requests from people that there seems to be a run on the years or the month period of time that people are reaching out. And yesterday it was people born in 1970. And I had two or three of them yesterday reaching out. And it makes me always go, what's the hard transit that's happening in that group of people? And it would normally be probably a Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto kind of transit that's going on. And it makes me think about the Pluto in Virgo and the number of planets in Virgo hitting up those, maybe, you know, sending beams of energy off into the different parts of people's charts. And it can feel sometimes like you're walking through a minefield with all of the different transits that are happening. But that's why we do what we do here in the morning, so that you're aware of what's happening and how it is. We don't just tell you what's happening. We also give you the sort of tools to be able to get through that and to somehow moderate the influence of those. It's almost like being forewarned is forearmed. And that way you know what to expect. And that's why I love doing this so much. And yes, Linda, this is a little amphora bottle, right? I can take the lid off, and it has essential oil inside, and it's called calming, I believe, is this one. And so when I get stressed, I can take that and smell It's a little aromatherapy bottle. But I love it too. Thank you. And Allison says, that's me, 1970. Yeah. Oh my gosh, Allison. And we're talking later today too. So aren't we? Or tomorrow, one of the 2 days. I'll check my calendar afterwards here. And so it seems that something is happening for people in 1970 and they reach out. So I often see sort of a trail of things that are going on by the number of people that reach out or the years that they're born. And sometimes I even notice it by the places that they were born. So I saw this interesting connection yesterday. I've been working on my website in the background and I was doing a Google Trends. It's a part of Google where you can go and research keywords and see what kind of trends are going on. What are people searching for? So I put in a search term, and I don't remember if it was living astrology or if it was just astrology. I can't remember exactly where it was, but the highest demographic from where people were searching from was the state of Ohio. And I went, wow, that's interesting. Well, wouldn't you know that two out of the three people yesterday that requested charts that were born in 1970 were from Ohio. I was like, isn't that weird? That is so weird. And I don't know. It was just one of those quinky dinks that you see, that when you start to look deeper, there's this, vein or trail or channel of energy that connects us all. And people that are searching for answers from a certain age group and from a certain part of the country, which I found interesting. Something else really interesting happened yesterday to me. It was actually last night. So yesterday, remember, I even wrote down here, bring me a higher love, right? This it's written right here, bring me a higher love. And I said, as I read that line to you all yesterday, I went, oh, that's a song. And I couldn't remember who the song was by, and I didn't want to sing it. I knew the words, but I couldn't think of who it was. Well, later in the day, Tom from Canada, he always says Canada, but he's from Canada, and he sent me a link that said, oh, that was Steve Winwood, and it was called Higher Love. So I found the video, I posted the video for you, and then I went and found the lyrics, which, we know the Bring Me Higher Love, la la la. But I wanted to see what the lyrics were. So I hope you all saw that yesterday. Well, I sat down last night after my husband got home, dinner was all done, and we were watching the recorded America's Got Talent from Tuesday night because we hadn't gotten to watch it yet. And the very first group that came on is this group of these wonderful, it's a junior, a youth choir out of South Africa. They are absolutely wonderful. And what would you guess that they were singing? Higher Love by Steve Winwood. I just about choked. My husband's like, are you okay? I'm like, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe this. It was so weird, right? That there's this connection to higher love. The reason I said bring me a higher love yesterday was I was talking about Venus opposing Neptune and how that asks all of us to elevate our thinking to include love energy. And being more loving, reaching for that higher love, which would, in my estimation, be unconditional love toward everyone, no matter what it is that they look like, what race they are, what religion they are, what country they come from, what their pasts are, what their futures are. It doesn't matter. If we're reaching for higher love, we're reaching for inclusivity. And these people, these children, these youth, they're really more like middle school age to high school age kids were all about that last night. And I was just sitting there stunned. I kept the recording even so that I could listen to it again because it was so beautiful. And just sometimes we are just tapped into one another, or, we tap into the energy that's available on the planet at the time. And then something like that happens, and you go, yes, that's exactly right. We're reaching for higher love. Steve Winwood knew that back in the 80s or 90s, whenever it was that he sang that song and brought it to our attention. So there we go. Good morning, Natasha and Christine Erickson. Hi, my thoughts about myself is not positive. Getting a lot of headaches, working with myself. Yeah, headaches. Nice to meet here again today. We're glad to have you. And let's just surround you with loving light and energy of healing and acceptance. The head is often Aries energy, And Aries right now, of course, has Chiron in it. And that might be the wound, a wound you're carrying being triggered in your body, reflecting it to you via the head. Maybe you're too much up here in your head. Remember yesterday I showed you the picture of the human design chart where the energy is all up here in the head and the ajna. Well, I checked the chart again this morning and it looks just like this. Only with the only difference is the moon is in a different place because it moves faster. So it's no longer at gate 43. It's down here at gate 9 in the root center or sacral center. And so that puts a lot of pressure. The head center, the very top center, is a pressure center. And it means that you're pressured to answer questions. And they may be internal questions, but they're usually questions that you're perceiving from the field that you're trying to answer. And they may not even be your own questions. Then the ajna gets involved. And the ajna, when it's defined, has certainty. It believes in its truths and it makes it hard to get out of the thinking rut that you've gotten yourself into. They have a specific way of thinking. And it works for someone with a defined ajna. But when you are an open ajna and you suddenly have a defined ajna by transit, you can be butting up against thinking issues or having issues with your mind. Not that you're crazy. I didn't mean that when I said that. It just means that you are maybe having issues with your mind overworking, over questioning, etc. So take your mind and give it a rest. Maybe just go stand out in the sun, go to the beach, do something that just sheds the energy away from you of what is going on in your mind. Good morning, Jody. Great to see you. And Allison, LOL, should I move? I don't know. I don't know if you should move, Allison. Maybe that's a good question to ask everybody right now, especially if you're living along the coast of Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. Under the gun right now. Pray for those people along the coast there. All right, so let's dig in a little bit to today's energy. The moon, as I said in the opening, has moved over into Sagittarius. That is a completely different energy from Scorpio. It's not as deep. It's not as intense. It is lighter energy. And when I mean lighter, it's more playful energy. It's definitely more adventurous, more spirited energy, dealing with energies of freedom and playfulness and wanting to get out and, you know, unbounded is another good word I guess we could use there, where that we're releasing ourselves from those chains and the chains of the mind in this case. Now, today the moon in Sagittarius is squaring Mars, and that makes for some high energy, right? There's that feeling of challenge between the moon in Sagittarius and adventuresomeness and playfulness or the explorer energy versus Mars in Virgo that wants to do something, has a plan, and wants work versus play. So somehow having to merge those two energies today. As well, the sun is also squaring the moon today, and you know what that means. It's our first quarter moon, and we've come to the first crisis point since the new moon last week. This is the crisis of action, where you may meet up with obstacles in your outer world that seem to want to stop you from moving forward with what your intentions were back with the new moon. What was it that you started at the new moon, and what are the obstacles that you're bumping into now? So it's the crisis of action. And these kinds of crises are not meant to be painful. Nothing's meant to cause pain, but sometimes, you know, we need a little bit of pain because it acts as that energy, the energizer to get us to move and do something different. So when we have this crisis of action, it may mean we have to reevaluate where we are and where we are on our course. Are we headed for a wall, or is there a pathway around the wall? Do we have to build a ladder first to get up and over the wall in order to institute our dreams or our goals or our manifesting what it is that we want to manifest out there in the world? Or do we give up on ourselves? Right? That's what the crisis of action brings us to. Do we give up on the dream? Do we give up on the what it was that we wanted? Do we give up on our desires? Or do we work with the energy and watch for the opening and move with the flow and not against it? I hope that makes sense to everybody. This is a point we reach every month after the new moon. A week after the new moon, we hit that wall, so to speak, and or we stumble, or something out in the world appears to create resistance to our being able to do what it is that we wanted to do. It's not real, it's just there. And it is and your reaction to that is evidence of whether you are trying to push or whether you are allowing. Right? Allowing or pushing. We're meant to allow, following the signs, following the invitations, following the route that opens up for us, but not keeping pushing at that wall, trying to break it down, right? That causes more problems, causes more headaches, causes more stress, causes more anxiety. So that's why it is that we get to this point so that we can stop and evaluate and then proceed in what way is open for us. All right. Allison says, Janet, would it be possible for me to post something on your Facebook page and have you share it with everyone and get their thoughts? Absolutely. As long as it's in keeping with, astrology, human design, gene keys, metaphysics, anything that is of a positive nature. Absolutely. Moving comment was about people born 1970 in Ohio. Okay. I get it. No, don't move. You don't have to do that. You don't have to go to that extreme. It just seems like maybe that's just a way. So Mercury is also trining Saturn today. So that's the reason I'm having issues with my mouth. I'll get into that in just a minute. When you look at a chart, you can pull up a chart that looks like a map. And it shows you the lines of influence that the planets have based on geography. Maybe tomorrow I'll print up a chart like that so everybody can see it. So if we looked right now at a map of the United States, we might see that that area of the country is under pressure by a planet, or that person's chart is under, the people that live there are being pressured by something that is affecting that part of the country. It's called relocation astrology. I think sometimes they call it astro travel. Called astro travel, where you can look and see what planets are focusing on what part of the country right now. And that's why have you ever noticed certain geographic centers of the world get more powerful influences by, tragedies or dramas? And then other places, you've never even heard of them because nothing there ever happens. It's that the planets and their influence and how they line up according to the energies. So, for example, a long-term transiting planet like Pluto may hang around, let's say, the west coast of the United States. And one after another, we have a lot of earthquakes. And then maybe it moves on. And next thing you know, it's the middle part of the country that's having an issue. Or maybe it's Japan, or maybe it's Australia. So there are lines of influence in a relocation map that may show us why it is that the hurricanes seem to be hanging around that East Coast right now, or why it is that Ohio people are under stress right now. So there's a lot of different things that we can look at astrologically. It's kind of fun to do that too. Natasha, as an idea for a headache, if we're opening up our crown chakra, many times it's like a fire hose that is uncontrolled with energy coming through. I always ask that energy to tune to what I'm in need of today and to work with me so that the energy hose goes down to a nice flow. That's a great way to look at it. Colleen, good morning. And Allison says self-love. Yes. So we have a lot of really good comments going on this morning. Keep it up. Now, let's move on to one other thing that is happening with the moon today, and that is that the moon is in a conjunction to Ceres. Ceres is the goddess of plenty. She is often the goddess that you see holding either a cornucopia or a sheaf of wheat. Sometimes she has the scale of justice. Sometimes she has like a book of knowledge. So she's shown in these various different motifs, but literally she is a mother goddess, and she really represents the idea of the harvest and the alternation between harvest and quiet, right? Winter and spring, or winter and summer, and spring and fall. And the moon, when it conjuncts this, is visiting her big sister, right? This is like the moon and the goddess are, they're in harmony with one another. Although in Sagittarius, the moon is a little bit more righteous It is a little bit more assertive. It is a little more blunt. And I would expect maybe today we might hear some news out in the world about something to do with the environment, something to do with drought. Obviously, the hurricane over on the east coast of the country is battering some of the states there. We may hear about some devastation there because the moon and Ceres bring our focus into Mother Earth. She's almost like Mother Nature, Mother Earth energy. And do I have my book? Yes, I have the series of webinars that I'm about to introduce to all of you coming up for the next 5 or 6 months. One will be the goddess planets, and that will be in October, where we're going to take a deep dive into these goddess planets because every new body that is found in our solar system is being named a goddess. It's almost like they ran out of god names. But I know that it is a shift in the paradigm that's occurring. And so we're going to take up the Black Moon, Lilith, Ceres, Vesta, Juno, Eris, Pallas Athena, Sedna, and Selena. And we're going to take a look at what does it mean for our times when we see these numbers of goddess energies rising up and taking more precedence. We see it in our astrology, and I want to be able to start using that more and more in people's charts because of the rising of that feminine energy. And just so you know, that the astrology for autumn is the first one we'll do. Then Mars taking action when you feel paralyzed, that's coming up for November. December will be, of course, our astrology for 2020. And in January, we'll do the Human Design New Year. So watch out for those webinars. For those of you who are members in the Living Astrology Academy, you will get to participate in those free as a part of your membership. And for those of you who are not yet members, you will be paying $20 for each one of those, or $100 for the whole of the 6 series. And or you can join to the Living Astrology membership and then be able to get those for free yourself. So sorry, I left this on. So more information coming on that. Also, we are now in September and we are nearing the launch of the Energy Almanac for 2020. And in fact, on September 20th, I believe it will be available for pre-order. If you pre-order, there are some freebies that are thrown in from all of the contributors to the almanac. And I'm really excited about that because I worked so hard, as you all know, in the late spring. That was my full focus. And I'm really excited about the product that we've got for this year. And it is the final year that I am going to be writing for this publication. I'm going to branch out on my own and do my own thing for 2021. So this is your time, right, to get that, to have the artist's energy in it and the other contributors contributing information about numerology, aromatherapy, and nutrition, I believe, and how the body works. So I'll keep you posted on that. It'll be coming up here really soon. And apparently, there's going to be a cover reveal. I have not yet seen the cover of this year's book, but I'm excited to see that. And that's coming up in the next few days. So I'll keep you posted on that as well. All righty. Relocation astrology. Oh, Janet, my brain can't take and handle all the threads I'm getting. So, Allison, breathe. Let's just center yourself. And that brings me to Mercury trine Saturn today, where being grounded and centered is oh so very important because Mercury rules the mind and our communication, and Saturn rules the structures, the boundaries, the limits. And so we have to come back here and ground ourselves in the center. I always am reminded when there's a Mercury and Saturn connection to breathe. I found myself laying in bed this morning, hiccuping sort of in my breathing, and I realized, whoa, 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 you're only taking half breaths. So I purposefully sat there for a while before I got up and breathed in deeply, held it for a couple of seconds, and then released it low and slow, and then breathed again in and then released. Breathing helps center and helps calm the mind, which is likely going to be in a bit of a tizzy today as it is connected up to Saturn. However, if you can do the grounding and the centering, and then you can move forward toward making plans and being very systematic about how you're doing that, because it favors that kind of energy, the doubling down on focus, concentration, step-by-step planning, and then step-by-step execution of those plans. Now, today, that is the trine to Saturn, Mercury's trining Saturn in that, but later in the day, we add a little bit of a whirlwind to that as Mercury then is set to align with Jupiter tomorrow in a square. And that means exaggerated energy, perhaps committing yourself to more than what you can handle. Be very careful today in your feeling very grounded and centered that you don't think, I can take on that other project and then commit to it and then find out later it was an overdue. So make sure that you are staying as clear as possible, breathing, using your type and your strategy to keep you from making the wrong choices, making the wrong decisions, because as Mercury later in the day heads toward that square with Jupiter, it tends to scatter our energy and our minds and cause us to start to leap around and get involved in other things that maybe are too much. And remember, the moon is in Sagittarius, so is Jupiter. So the moon is also in the mix with Jupiter there during that time, and it can create that need that we feel sometimes to keep filling the void, overfilling, right? So watch that. Don't let yourself start committing to too many things because you have to have a plan first. And if it's not in the plan, then it's okay to say no, or not yet, or maybe next week, right? You can do that. You can manage your own energy. If you don't, who will, right? So watch out for that. Okay, I will. Allison, you're so funny. She says, we're meeting today. You may want to meditate prior to our meeting. That's too funny. I get that. I feel like I can already feel it in my center mass here, my stomach, my whatever, this right here in the center. That sort of whirlwind feeling, right? That buzzing in my gut that tells me that today is going to be a scattered day. And Gemini here, Mercury, my ruling planet. So I'm going to have to be the one that's very careful about that scattering of energy this afternoon. All right. So let's switch over to our Pleiadian Earth energy today. Also, reminder that calendar is now available. The 2021 is beautiful. And not that I'm in a rush to use it because the 2019 was equally as beautiful, but it is available for purchase. And then you can follow along with me each day as we try to move ourselves into living on a consciousness spiral as opposed to a linear depiction of the energy through the regular calendar. So today is 9 feeling. Remember, it's made up of 2 parts. The number is the universal energy. So no matter where you would be in the solar system or this universe, you would be resonating with the 9 energy of harmonizing, balance, bringing things into harmony. Harmony meaning if you have 2 waves and one is really high and the other one is just, we want to bring them into a harmony. So we're going to split the difference, let's say, and harmonize those energies. So if you've got chaos and you have the potential for peace, bring it to the middle, and where they meet is probably more harmonious than either one of the 2 ends. This is also earth energy of feeling, which was Muluk in the Mayan calendar. So if you know your Mayan calendar sign, Muluk was water energy. It is the energy then of emotions. This is emotional energy today. So we have harmonizing emotions. And that means watch out for being overly reactive to whatever life throws you, whatever curveballs show up in your world, whatever, you know, comments people make today that set your teeth on edge. Watch your reactivity. You're the only one that can control how you react when a situation is presented to you, right? No one else can do that. The person in the grocery store that runs over your toe with the basket is at fault for that, but your reaction is your own. How you react to that, right? What do you say? What do you do? Watch the emotional overreactivity. And of course, I'm going to tell you that that gets more intense as the day goes on. When the moon begins its further approach to Jupiter, and then Mercury begins to square Jupiter later in the day. Okay, Colleen, I'm so excited for the Goddess series. Happy for you to branch out on your own in 21. It was a big decision. It was a big decision. It was a tough decision. It was one of those things that brought up a lot of fear for me to say I didn't want to do something because I'm always overly wanting to do things. I'm a yes person. I do want to say yes to everything. And she wanted to be able to get the 2021 edition done in the next few months. And there's just no way. I have too many other projects that I'm in the middle of. I just couldn't add that to it. So that decision was agonizing. And I also was getting nudged by the universe to do my own thing. So there's that. I don't know what that looks like exactly yet, but of course I will keep you guys in the know. So anyway, and that just shows you, right, that we all have right now plans in the works, right? As I was working over the last couple of days, it's been very clear to me that there are some specific things, paths that are open up in front of me, and making plans to embrace that as opposed to all of the things that, like a fan, right? It opens up and there's just too many things. I can't act on all of them. So, what were the most important things to me? And that's how I went about this. I wrote everything down, everything that was potential out there. And then I looked at everything written down and which ones did I most resonate with, I guess you could say. What made me, as I read that list, because I'm emotionally defined, I could do this quite easily. You might have to use your intuition. You might have to listen to your body, telling you, or But what I did was I looked at everything on that list, and if I emotionally connected to it, it stayed on the list. If I didn't, it got crossed off. And as painful as that is, it felt so good when I looked at what was left of my list, and it was all the things that I'm wonderfully attached to: teaching people astrology, living astrology membership, the Meta Cafe. Those were the things that stayed. And everything else, and webinars, that was my other thing. Teaching, that's my other thing that I'm really involved, wanting to be more involved with. Everything else just kind of went away. So that's the way you can do this. It sounds so easy until you're the one doing it and you have to make those choices. What stays, what goes, what can you literally not get to? It doesn't mean I'll never go back to it. It just means that not now. Right? It's not in the cards right now. It's not in resonance with my energy right now. And it takes courage to do this, right? It took a lot of courage for me to say no, I wasn't going to write the 2021 almanac. And I got to tell you, I sat here for a couple of hours after I wrote her that email and said, I'm opting out for 2021, thinking, oh, you've made a big goof. You've expletive upped your life. And I went round and round with myself about this. I even wrote to my daughter, I go, I just think I made the biggest mistake ever. And she's like, Mom, no, you haven't. You've been telling me for weeks, months that this was not, that you were very clear that this isn't, the path. And absolutely, right? It was about me being my own best friend in this decision and not working against myself. So I know that everybody is somewhat struggling with this because we're rebuilding our lives. We're rebuilding our reality. Every one of you is rebuilding your life or your reality. So you've got steps, right? Every one of us. Good morning, Angela. And Debbie Hedden says, I am in awe of all of your knowledge and love listening to your thoughts. Well, thank you. I'm really glad to be someone that can share these things with you because sometimes it is such a lonely road. Sometimes it feels like you are the only one out there struggling. And we know, of course, logically, that's not the case. But on a feeling level, on a very human level, it feels that way. It feels like, oh, ugh, not again, right? Not again. And that I'm dealing with this emotional stuff, or I'm having these experiences. I'm having this relationship issue. I'm having this health challenge. I'm having this financial crisis. I'm having this fill in the blank, right? But you're not alone because we're all out there under the influence of these planets, but it shows up in our lives in different ways. And that's the beauty of knowing yourself, right? You know then what's likely going to be your Achilles heel and how it is that you can handle that. So there we go. So Now, let's see what else we can talk about today. Oh, yeah. Time-wise, we're doing okay. Good. So I wanted this morning to go to our lovely Faces book, right? The Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook, The 64 Faces of Awakening by Rosie Aronson, who was on the show a few months back, and she was introducing us to her series of books and to this set of oracle cards called the Wisdom Keeper's Oracle. And I really love this deck because it takes those keys, the gene keys, and it takes the human design gates and brings us to a new level, maybe a new level. We up level as we look through what is happening at each of the gates in the human design. So I thought today, because there's so much emphasis coming up on two gates, 64, right now under the gun, where the sun and Mars and what was it, Mercury moving to join up Venus at the gate 47, and then Mars joining up at gate 47. So we have a lot of focus on those two gates, 64 and 47. Something else jumped out at me this morning about that. What was it? Hold on, let me take a look here. Mars. Maybe it was just that I realized that Mars was also going to join in here. So we have right now the Sun at 64, Mercury 64, Mars at 64, and we have Venus at 47. And starting on the 7th, which is Sunday, Saturday, we have Venus at 47 or Mercury at 47. So we have a lot of influence going on all the way through the 21st of this month. That energy at gate 47, where the earth is sitting. And that means we're grounding in something here. What do we need to learn about the gate 47, which literally was the gate of epiphany in human design? But let's take a, here's the card, by the way, for the gate 47. And it is, remember, in the gift, it's transmutation. And in the highest expression, it was transfiguration. And in the lowest expression, it was oppression, right? So look at that face. There is so much going on there. I think I see, yeah, I see the Thunderbirds from Native American. I see triangles. Those look like alchemical symbols. I see the symbol for Earth. Wow. Lots of symbols going on in this look, this one face. So here we have the gate of transmutation, and let's read about the wisdom story here. It says the only way to transcend suffering is to move more deeply into it, embracing every feeling and event that comes to you. Then it says, here's the wisdom story. I had a recurring nightmare as a child. It always ended with a bearded man hovering over me with a giant blade as I guarded something behind my back. I always woke up screaming just before the blade touched my chest. My father was a weak and quiet man. He didn't speak of his oppressive family past or believe in much of anything. My mother was a woman who religiously embraced the dogma of the church. Convinced a negative entity was attached to her daughter, she dragged me to church. For years, I prayed for forgiveness and to be rid of the evil, but the nightmare only intensified. By the time I was a young woman, I avoided sleep at all costs. One night, I was so overcome with hopelessness that I broke down in front of my father, finally sharing the dream with him. He became strangely curious, as if he needed to know more. His surprising response awakened a curiosity and courage in me. That night, I willingly went to sleep. Though I still awoke before the knife fell, I was able to retrieve more information. The next night, the same happened, then the next. It got to a point where I could enter the dream at will, like a sleuth, always leaving seconds before my murder. My father hungered for each new detail that came through. It was as if the two of us were assembling pieces from an ancient puzzle. One night, I detected faint lettering on the bearded man's belt. I drew the three letters for my father. He ran to his room and rushed back with an old book full of Nordic symbols given to him by the grandfather he'd never mentioned. Immediately, we saw the meaning of the three symbols: journey, gift, and joy. I'd never seen my father's eyes glow like that. I couldn't wait to go to sleep that night. This time, I let the dagger plunge into my heart. There was no blood, no pain, just radiant light filling my chest. Turning to face what I'd been protecting all those years, I saw a treasure box overflowing with jewels. The bearded man reappeared, this time beaming with kindness. Instead of a sword, he held a picture of my father as a child in his hand. He said, "Tell your father I ask for his forgiveness. Tell him I love him." My father and I were never the same after that. Our ancestral relations strengthened, healed, and transformed us. Today, there is nothing I am not willing to see or feel. I uncover treasure after treasure. Love that story. Now, here's the gift to you. I am here to ask you to move toward that which terrifies you. You may think you have a fixed identity, but you do not. You are forever changing. You are designed to bump up against limitations and then to dissolve into something else. Transmutation is the key to your evolution. I come when it's time to hold back nothing, to embrace everything, and to live dangerously. Release all definitions of who you are or what you're capable of. Get comfortable with fear, willingly taking the lid off of Pandora's box. If you truly want to transcend your suffering, move deeply into it. Surrender. You can make a quantum leap at any moment and your true purpose will be revealed. Just wow, right? So here's some questions for contemplation for you. And again, I will post these later on the page. Have you given up on your life? ? Do you sometimes feel like no matter what you do, your life won't get better? What are the fears you refuse to face or deal with? Do you feel best when you're mentally certain about something? Do you ever feel oppressed by your own mind? Is it hard to relate to people who think differently than you? Think of something that truly scares you. Move towards it with a symbolic or creative act. Reflect on a time in your life when you experienced a transmutation. So wow, right? Just wow. That's the gate 47. That is the gene key 47. That is in the ajna, headed up toward the head, where the sun is sitting at gate 74. I said that yesterday. Gate 64, waiting with open arms to receive the epiphany or the aha or the transfiguration, transmutation energy. So there you have that one. Tomorrow we'll take a look at the gate 64 and it through story and myth and see what that brings for us. All right, I'm going to take one last look here at comments. Monique Alexander, good morning. Nice to see you out there. Totally rebuilding. Oh, yes, I know. Good morning. Popping in late, but happy to catch the rest from Angela. Colleen says, saying no is hard. I love your process. Honestly, since the Almanac came out, I always thought you should do your own. It is scary, but oh, so worth it. You just don't know. I wish I could tell you how scary that proposition is. But I'm embracing it. There we have it. Good morning, Sherry Davis, and good morning, Tracy Una Wagner. Great to see you ladies out there. I haven't talked to either of you in a while, so blessings to you both. And thank you all for joining me this morning. I'll be back here tomorrow morning. Can't believe it. It's Friday already tomorrow. Where did the week go? And tomorrow, of course, then we'll be taking a look not only at Friday's energy, but the weekends. We'll be doing some card readings. And I did get a request last week from one of my followers to do an astrology reading, so I may dust that off as well and get a reading out for her. So that means if a couple others of you would like me to look at your chart, please let me know. By the way, now you can go directly to my website, www.living-astrology.com. Here, let me write it because I just totally botched that. And you can, up at the very, very top of the page, it says reach Janet at living-astrology. You can do that. I've tested it 100 times. It is working really well. I mean, I'm so astounded finally that I'm not missing emails. And let me know that you might want me to take a look at your chart. I can't do that for everybody, but I can do that for a couple of people maybe tomorrow. Okay, that's it for me. So everybody take care. Have a wonderful day. See you tomorrow.